Somebody has said, it is incredible how much intelligence is used in this world to prove nonsense. Well, that's so true. It is often true in the church, especially was it true in the Apostle Peter's day. The church was plagued by false teachers who knew the truth but were teaching nonsense. As we look at verse 17 of the second epistle of Peter, chapter 2, Peter reasserts his convictions about the wicked lives and the vain philosophies of the false teachers by saying they are wells without water, literally springs without water. Of what value is a dried-up spring to a thirsty traveler? Likewise, of what value is spiritless teaching to thirsty souls? The Lord Jesus promised in John 4, verse 14, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Those who drink of the water of life, Christ Jesus, shall never thirst again. The false teachers of whom Peter speaks knew nothing of the reality of this satisfying water. They were trying to lead others to contentment and peace, but they themselves were blind leaders of the blind. The satisfaction they were offering to thirsty souls was that which the devil continues to offer to restless and distraught humanity: fleeting satisfaction through pleasure, lust, and uncleanness. Something else should be considered here. Very often water is used in Scripture refers to the Holy Spirit. For example, in John 7, verses 37 through 39, we read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The rivers of living water flowing forth from the Spirit-filled believer could also be translated springs of living water. In a very definite sense, every believer in Christ should be a spring of water, bubbling forth with the refreshing water of life for thirsty souls who need Christ. Such usefulness for the Lord can only be known as we are fully committed to the control and direction of the Holy Spirit. Souls are not won to Christ through human genius, intellect, or energy, but through the power of the Spirit of God at work in a consecrated life. Peter tells us that the false teachers were not only wells without water, but clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They were as mist or fog driven by a tempestuous wind. Here we have the picture of a violent storm breaking forth from black thunder clouds with destructive gusts of wind and floods of rain, resulting in catastrophe. Is this not descriptive of what false teaching does for empty hearts? Rather than provide peace, it results in turmoil and confusion. False teaching cannot possibly quiet the storms of life. Only Jesus Christ can do this. Recall the incident recorded in Mark chapter 4. Jesus had been teaching from early morning until late afternoon. He invited his disciples to come with him to a small boat. Shortly after, they departed for the other side of the sea. Weary from the long day of teaching, our Lord fell asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Not far along the course of their voyage, the sky darkened, the winds blew, and the waves tossed the little craft to and fro. Soon the storm unleashed its fury. Slowly the ship filled with water. Finally, in desperation, the disciples awakened Christ, saying, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Did he not care? Why, certainly he did. He always cares for his own. What did he do? We read in Mark 4, verse 39, that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Well, as the Lord calmed the storm in that hour of need, he provides peace and serenity for every storm of life, even now. False teaching cannot do this. Unbelief cannot do it, but our Lord can. He says to every troubled heart, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Are you restless, disturbed, distraught, tossed about amidst the confusion and perplexities of life? Then turn to Jesus and find peace and calm in him. Peter reminds us of another of the fallacies of the false teachers. He says in verse 18, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. They profess to know God, but in their works they denied him." We who are Christians might ask ourselves, do we walk on Monday and the rest of the week as we talk on Sunday? It is essential that we walk the same at all times. We read in 1 John 2, verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Though many people around us have no time or regard for the Bible, they do watch Christians and read their lives. An atheist once said, "I can stand all the arguing of Christian apologists, but I have an employee who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and her pure, honest, truthful life staggers me." The one irresistible argument for the gospel and its power is a regenerated and consecrated life. The false teachers of Peter's day spoke with fluency, but their wicked lives voided every word they uttered. You will notice, too, that the false teachers of which Peter speaks directed their godless theories at those who were babes in the faith. This is often the procedure that the cults use. Peter also speaks of those who were clean escaped from them who lived in error. These were true children of God, but probably beginners in the faith of Christ. The false teachers were seeking to entice them away from the truth. But in spite of this satanic thrust through the false teachers, these immature believers clean escaped, the Bible says. They overcame and continued on for the Lord. It is so important that all of us who know Christ grow in the Lord. Only then can we withstand the evil attacks of the enemy. From verse 19, we see that the false teachers promised liberty, but Peter informs us that they knew nothing of liberty in themselves, for while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They were still mastered by their sinful hearts. As long as a person is controlled by sin, he is the servant of sin. Thus Peter says, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Well, have you been delivered from your sins through Jesus Christ? If you have not, you are in bondage too. I hope that you'll find deliverance today as you trust in Christ as the one who died for your sins and rose again so that you can be free and delivered from the shackles of sin. Christ can do it. I hope you'll let him. Blessed Lord, I come to you by faith, claiming all the promises of your word. May the Holy Spirit speak to hearts and draw them to Christ, for I pray in his blessed name. Amen.